Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What are the Scriptures all about? In other words, if we had to distill the message of the Bible down to its very essence, what would we say that that would be? What is the heart of what God is trying to say to us through the Scriptures? That's the question that's being raised in our Gospel lesson this morning. The Pharisees are coming once again during Holy Week to try to trap Jesus in his words. In fact, this is the third time that they are coming to him with that very intent. So having witnessed him enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to all the shouts of Hosanna, Lord save us, and having witnessed the crowds waving their palm branches in the air as a sign of victory, and then having seen him overturn the tables of the money changers there in the temple, having questioned him about who, by what authority he is doing these things, and having heard him preach the parables of the two sons, the wicked tenants, and the wedding banquet, all of which were acting as accusations against the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Israel. These religious leaders of Israel were not necessarily on good terms with one another. The Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't, and the Herodians as a political body weren't necessarily friendly with either. Well, in light of that, what happens is they all pool together and decide they're going to work together to somehow trap Jesus in his words. And so they first ask him a question about paying taxes to Caesar to try to trap him in that situation. That's the gospel lesson that we heard last Sunday. And then the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, they came along and they asked Jesus a question about the resurrection, designed to make the resurrection look rather foolish and hope that they could mess Jesus up in what he's saying there too. We didn't hear that one. That one got cut out of our lectionary cycle. It should have been today, I guess. But now they come to him a third time with a question about Scriptures. Now, one thing that's helpful for us to be aware of here is the belief that lies back of their question. The belief that lies back of their question is that the whole Bible can be reduced down to really being just a book of commandments. That is, the whole Bible is about what we should be doing for God. Not necessarily what God is doing for us, but about what we should be doing for God. In this regard, then, the Bible is nothing more than a book of rules, a book of laws, demanding humans to be obedient. And this is why they come to Jesus with the question, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" If this whole book, if the Scriptures are just nothing more than a bunch of rules that God has laid down for us to keep, well then tell us which commandment is the greatest commandment. Which is the commandment we should be keeping above all the other commandments? And this is when Jesus does something very notable. He gives them more than what they ask for. They ask for one commandment. Give us one commandment that sort of sets it all in place and sums it all up. And he starts by first quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And he tells them that the greatest and the first commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." But then he adds a second part to it and says that it is like it. And by like it, he means that it's on the same level with it. It's on equal ground with it. It's just as important as the first thing he said. And the second part he adds is quoting Leviticus 19:18, where he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this second part is actually functioning as a bit of an implicit critique of the Pharisees, who were perfectly fine with the idea of loving God, but they were not comfortable with loving your enemies. That was the part that they just couldn't take. And so Jesus says here that the whole law is summed up in both, that you should love God with all your heart and love your neighbors as yourselves. And that loving neighbors as yourselves means everyone. That means loving even the people that you consider to be your enemies. St. John will go on to say in his first epistle, Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. You can't love God and hate your brothers and sisters, John's saying. The two go hand in hand, love of God and love of other humans as well. So love of God and love of humans, Jesus says, is the thing that all the law and the prophets hang on. It's what the Old Testament hangs on. It's what the commandments all center upon and hang on. But here's a question. Is the whole Bible, therefore, able to be reduced down to simply something like this? Love God and love other people, as I have sometimes heard other Christians say. Is that what the whole Bible is about? Just love God and love other people? Well, the answer is a firm and resounding no. And that's not my answer, that's Jesus' answer. And this is what Jesus is getting at in the second part of our lesson today. Having just answered this question about the greatest commandment, Jesus turns around and immediately questions his questioners by asking them a question that he sees as getting to the heart of the Scripture. If they thought the heart of the Scriptures was the commandments, and therefore their question, which is the greatest of these, Jesus says there's something more important than the commandments in the Scripture. And that's when he turns to ask this question of them. And the question he asks is this: what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? And their answer, the son of David. All good Israelites knew this answer. This was a no-brainer, Jesus. Everyone is expecting the Messiah to come from the line of David. But that's when Jesus does something radical. He takes Psalm 110, which, by the way, we have no evidence of any Jewish people interpreting messianically up to the days of Jesus. No Jewish people were reading Psalm 110 and reading it in light of the coming Messiah. So Jesus does something very new here. He gives Psalm 110 a messianic interpretation. He makes this about the Messiah, and he asks them, how is it that David, by the Spirit, calls him, the Messiah, Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? What's the point? The point is that the Messiah is something much more than just David's son. The Messiah is something much more than just another earthly king in the lineage of David. The Messiah is, in fact, the Son of God. The Messiah is, in fact, the Lord. And what Matthew tells us is that no one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. What they encountered in Jesus was a new interpretation of Scripture that they had never heard before, and it stunned them. It silenced them. And all the attempts that they had made to trap Jesus, to trip him up in his words, had failed. Three times they came to him, and three times, like a good sword blow, he parried them away and deflected what they were throwing at him. The only thing left to do on the part of the Pharisees is to find someone to betray him, which is exactly what they're going to go out and do after this. But back to the main point of our lesson today. What is the most important question for understanding the Scriptures? As we've seen, it's not the greatest commandment. As important as the greatest commandment is, and as true are as the words of Jesus are, that this does sum up the entirety of the commandments, and it is in fact the thing that we are called to do, to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves, that's not what the Bible is ultimately summed up by. The Bible is not able to be reduced down to love God and love people. That's to turn the Scriptures into nothing more than a law book, when the Scriptures are something far more than a law book. We can't just reduce them down to being some sort of legalistic text. But what Jesus is saying in our lesson today is the most important question for understanding the Scriptures is this: who is the Messiah? That's the most important question for understanding the Scripture. Who is the Messiah? You see, what the Bible is ultimately about is Jesus. That's the answer. What are the scriptures about? They're about Jesus. It's about this man who is both the Son of David and the Son of God, and it is about this man who is our Lord, who has come into this world to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that he might save his people from their sins, as the angel announced to Joseph. Jesus is the Lord himself. Jesus is the God of the people of Israel, who has come down into this world to bear our sins to death for us on the cross, so that he might set us free from those sins. And he is the one who has come into this world to rise from the dead for us, that we might be made the righteous people of God. That is what the whole Bible is about. Jesus the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God, died for your sins and was raised for your justification, as the Apostle Paul says. So if someone asks you to sum up these scriptures, please do not say to love God and love other people. That's a Pharisaical error. The scriptures are not summed up in the law. No, the scriptures are summed up in Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law. They're filled up in Jesus' life under the law. They're filled up in Jesus' death under the law for us, so that we might be set free to be made the people of God. And they are summed up in Jesus' resurrection and ascension for us as well, as our Lord and King. So if you need a quick answer for people, here's what the Bible is all about. Jesus Christ died for your sins, and therefore all your sins are forgiven in his name. Amen.